Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Just when you thought the days of alternative rock and roll radio were dying out in Boston, there are signs of new life thanks to the development of online radio.
You may remember last month when the owners of the Boston Phoenix announced the impending demise of their companion radio station, Alternative Rock Stalwart.
1017 FNX.
The signal was sold to Clear Channel Communications, and the Phoenix laid most of WFNX's staff off.
Now comes news today that the hugely popular Boston Globe website Boston.com has hired several former WFNX DJs and ad executives to start up a new web-only alternative rock radio station. A local internet radio station with actual resources behind it, that's pretty much unheard of.
Not to be outdone, the Phoenix itself made an announcement this morning. They plan to keep the WFNX brand going online even after the radio signal goes over to Clear Channel.
So that's two local alternative rock, internet-only professional radio stations in one city. That's definitely something to talk about, and so that's what we're going to do.
Phoenix Media Communications Group CEO Stephen Mindich declined to join us on our program today. He said it's a little too early for him to discuss any further details of the Phoenix's plan, but we are joined now by Jeff Moriarty, Vice President of Digital Products for the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Jeff Moriarty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great, thanks. Glad to be here.
So let's start off with a couple questions about the details of what Boston.com has planned for its online radio stream. Who in particular from the old WFNX staff have you hired to come over to Boston.com?
Yeah, we were fortunate to hire Henry Santoro, Julie Kramer, Adam 12, and some who are really popular personalities. And so they've joined the effort and the station that will be launching later this summer, as well as Paul Driscoll, who is a program director over there as well.
So do you have a sense as to what people are going to be hearing? Is it going to be sort of a reboot of what WFNX was doing, mostly music?
Well, I think, you know, we'll make it a uniquely Boston.com experience, and our hope is to make it a real complement to what we do every day on Boston.com with news, entertainment, sports, events, and, you know, and make it something new and something different that really complements our website.
Okay, so with all due respect, everything that you just said makes perfect sense, but it's also a little vague. So when you say a compliment to what's done on Boston.com, it seems one of the hallmarks so far, what you've been doing there. I mean, it's a huge website, draws millions and millions of visitors, every month. What is it in particular that you think is transferable in particular to an online radio stream?
Sure. I mean, we definitely see our news being, you know, heard through audio form. And then, you know, we see this great opportunity for alternative music and to keep that alive and well in Boston. So consider it, you know, really a, you know, a combination of, you know, great news and information and great alternative music.
Mm. What does Boston.com think it has to gain by jumping into the online radio business?
Well, we've looked at the research lately, and we see where streaming radio and streaming music is really a growing area. And I think from 2010 to 2011, it more than doubled in the number of hours that people listen to streaming music through their devices. So, you know, it's definitely a growing space and one that we think makes a lot of sense for Boston.com.
Hmm. I am curious, though, because the New England Media Group, which owns both the Boston Globe and Boston.com, I mean, this primarily has a journalistic mission. So how do you see that, this new radio stream, fitting into the overall mission of the New England Media Group?
Yeah, we think it fits quite well. We have BostonGlobe.com now, which is a very journalistically oriented site that has all of the content of the Boston Globe every day and is updated, 24 hours a day. And Boston.com, which has been around for 16 years, and it is a combination of our news and information, sports, entertainment, but also a lot of interactivity and ways that the community can engage with Boston.com and our writers and different features on the site. So, we see that as a great fit, and we just think that radio is a great extension of what Boston.com does and really furthers our mission to help people, live their lives in Boston, be entertained in Boston, find out what's going on in Boston.
So, Jeff, I mean, here's the big question that everybody in the journalism and news media business, WBUR, of course, included, wrestles with, and that is, in the digital age, on the internet, you're playing, by default on a global stage, right? Because people can go anywhere online to get whatever information they want. But on the other hand, the conventional wisdom is that what may distinguish certain places is that, they have their finger on the pulse of local issues, local personalities, local stories. So for a site like Boston.com, is this radio stream going to be sort of a local outlet on the global stage, or how do you see that balance working out?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all about Boston. We're all about trying to capture the voice of Boston, the sounds of Boston. And so, we think that this is going to be a great local product. We believe the personalities that we've hired will make that happen and really provide a unique Boston-oriented experience and stream for the site.
Do you think that in the long run that might actually limit your potential listeners to the online stream?
I think you have to focus on what you're good at, and we cover New England as well as anyone else in this area, if not better. And we really think that we have a big audience to pull from. More than 6 million users visit Boston.com every month. So we have a lot of potential listeners to this new stream that just haven't been introduced to it before. So, we already have a big audience, and we really specialize in both selling advertising and covering this market. So, we see this as an extension of that.
Okay, so there's a lot of financial questions, which we're going to dive into with you in just a minute. But I am speaking with Jeff Moriarty. He's the Vice President of Digital Products at Boston.com. And we're talking about Boston.com's new announcement to hire some former employees from WFNX to come help Boston.com start an online local alternative rock radio stream. So for folks out there who used to be FNX listeners, would you come to get something like what you used to hear on the air at Boston.com? And in the world where there's Pandora, Spotify, and iTunes, what would Boston.com have to do? What does anybody online have to do to draw you to their new online radio streams? This seems to be a pretty huge story in terms of local radio and its future, and plus the idea that there's a balancing point between local and global content when it comes to anything in the digital space. So give us a call with your thoughts on that at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also, of course, comment online at radioboston.org. So, Jeff, if you stand by for just a second, I'd like to introduce another guest into the program briefly. His name is Jack Casey, and he's the general manager at WERS and also adjunct professor at Emerson College. Jack Casey, welcome to you.
Thank you, Magna. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you, and we should point out that perhaps WERS looks at the revival or reincarnation of some form of FNX's potential competition. But what's your first response to Boston.com's move to put alternative rock back on the online radio stream?
Well, in looking at the Arbitron figures for the Boston market, Arbitron being the, pardon the pun, arbitrator of radio success, the WFNX stream is currently bringing in around 31,000 people a week, and that's about 1,400 people at any given time listening to the WFNX stream. But that only would make them the number 33 radio station overall in the Boston market, if that was, in fact, a separate station.
So it sounds like that you're a bit dubious in terms of how many listeners they might draw to Boston.com.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about internet radio, most people, if they say they listen to internet radio, they're referring to Pandora or Spotify. And those are really music services. They're based on algorithms. They attempt to give you songs that are in the mode of songs that are favorites of yours. And that's a very different kind of a structure from what we're talking about here.
Well, in that case, is that a potential strength that Boston.com would bring to online music options for folks living in the greater Boston area? Because it wouldn't just be sort of music that you might like?
Well, the other factor is internet access. You know, dashboard access is mostly limited to high-end automobiles at this point, and those aren't probably the vehicles of choice for younger listeners who are listening to alternative music. So there's the question of when WiMAX or some other more ubiquitous internet access is available. There's also the question of mobile apps and whether those are accessible in all spaces. So there are limitations to the technology at this point.
Mm. So hang on for a second, Jack, because I'd like to get Jeff to respond to that point. What do you make of the idea that for as long as, you know, Wi-Fi radio is not in every car, every automobile in the United States, that there's a huge swath of potential listeners out there that you just aren't going to get at particular times of the day?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way we see it, I think, you know, a lot of people are connecting their phones to their cars. They're, you know, they're listening outside of their car as well. But it's definitely not rocket science any longer to connect whether it's Spotify or Pandora to your automobile. So, you know, we think people are starting to do that more and more, and it will just continue to get easier and easier and more common. And that's something we're looking, you know, towards the future, that this is just going to become, you know, much more common practice, that people will be able to stream internet radio wherever they are.
Hmm. Jack Casey, I do wonder if potentially, you know, folks around the greater Boston area who have long loved their local radio broadcasts are looking at Boston.com's move and thinking, hey, maybe if this works out, this is our future buttress against, you know, companies like Clear Channel coming in and just buying up the broadcast signals, because that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have to lose our local content in the future.
Well, I think there's no question that there's a process going on that will play out with a more democratic field, if you will. You know, there will be listening to internet stations on a much more broad basis, not only in this country but around the world. I think that's a given. But it's really a question of timing at this point. And I think at Boston.com is willing to support this into the future, then I think there is an opportunity here. But the other point I wanted to make is that while I like WFNX and I have friends there and I think the world of them, and I think they're very talented people, we're not talking about a market front runner. I mean, WFNX in and of itself, its terrestrial signal, since the advent of the personal people meter by Arbitron, FNX is below 20 in terms of market position. They're currently number 22. So we're not talking about high profile personalities like Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. We're talking about local folks at a station that was a somewhat marginal performer in terms of ratings and revenue.
But on the other hand, the people who did listen to FNX were kind of rabidly loyal, weren't they? I mean, and there has to be something to say about that profound brand loyalty that FNX carries with it.
Well, yeah, and I think their core, when they're able to access the station's stream, now under the banner of Boston.com, will support the station. But again, roughly 5,000 people on an average were listening to WFNX in its terrestrial state, and another 1,400 people listening to its stream. And that's compared, for instance, with WBUR, which has an average of about 15,000 people listening, and a weekly number of around 400,000. So when you talk economies of scale, WFNX was not a front runner.
I do have a question, though. We're thinking of this in terms of the transport of broadcast listeners to digital. What about the potential the other way around? Millions of people come to Boston.com. Could they then land on the radio signal?
That's always a possibility. And I think in the end, the people who hold the answers are potential advertisers and the ad agencies. The agencies are coming around to looking at stations' performances on the Internet, looking at how their streams are bringing in listeners, and that's becoming more important to the agencies. But in the end, if it isn't a viable business, then it's a hobby. And I think the folks at Boston.com are hoping that the advertisers will support this venture.
Jack Casey is the general manager at WERS and the adjunct professor, and an adjunct professor, I should say, at Emerson College. Jack Casey, great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick call from Abraham, who's calling from Malden. You're on the air, Abraham.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to say that when it comes to the WFNX radio, a lot of listeners who may have found it but who had have to move because they were potential students or really just found to love it, this would be great because they could then find somewhere really easy to go ahead and listen to that local flavor, hopefully, if it remains local, through Boston.com.
Abraham, thank you so much for your call. Jeff Moriarty, you're the VP of Digital Products at Boston.com. You have one vote of confidence from Abraham there. What's your reaction to what he said and even what Jack Casey said, that in a sense, it's such an undiscovered country in terms of the success of locally streamed online radio content that he's not sure you'll succeed?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, time will play out. It'll play out. But I think, you know, what's interesting is we do have this huge audience of people who have not been exposed to FNX or any other type of radio stream like this. So we have the opportunity to convert those into loyal listeners. And we think that some of the loyal listeners of alternative music will come over to us. And we've seen, you know, a lot of interest from advertisers in reaching those people. I think the talk about, you know, in the car listening is important. But we also, at Boston.com, our traffic peaks during the workday. So a lot of people listen to radio while they're at work, and that's our sweet spot. Boston.com's traffic is huge during the workday. So we see this as a complement during the day as well.
Mm. That's Jeff Moriarty. He's VP of Digital Products at Boston.com. And we are talking about Boston.com's move to bring some talent from, former talent, I should say, from WFNX and create a brand new online-only alternative rock plus some other stuff stream at Boston.com. Jeff, hang on for 1 second because I want to bring in one more voice into this conversation. He's Justin Ellis, assistant editor at the Nieman Journalism Lab. That's a think tank from the Nieman Foundation, whose mission is to, quote, help journalism figure out its future in an internet age. Justin Ellis, great to have you. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Happy to be here.
So you followed the growth and development of Boston.com as a journalistic and digital entity over the past many years. So this move probably has the attention of a lot of other news outlets. I imagine, you know, places like the Washington Post, the LA Times, Chicago Tribune. They're all looking at the web and thinking, how can we, A, monetize this place and make it work for us as a news organization, and B, how far away from sort of strictly print-only products do we need to move to stay viable? So what do you think these other newspapers around the nation are thinking, looking at Boston.com's move to radio?
Well, at this point, I think all the media companies are sort of looking around at each other and looking for ideas and, in some places, stealing ideas and seeing what they can adapt and use for their own purposes. You know, one of the things that we've seen a lot of companies do is create kind of Groupon clones, where they create their own coupon type of program for their local area, or they partner with someone who can do that. So, you know, people are probably looking at Boston.com and seeing what ideas that they can take from them and how they can adapt that to their own area. You know, when Boston.com had the sort of split with BostonGlobe.com last year, they went in a direction where they could try out a lot of these new products and ideas that could perhaps have a more utility for users, either in the Boston market or people that come to them, obviously, other ways through the web. And, you know, some of those things are ticketing for sports events, and they just recently looked at the idea of possibly selling domain names for .Boston. So it would be sort of like .com, but in this case it would be .Boston. So, you know, there's a lot of companies that are looking at what ideas they can generate to help raise money to help support their efforts in news gathering, and, you know, there will be a lot of interest in seeing what happens here.
Mm. So we have a comment from Abby Barrett, who's writing on our Facebook page, that she says, my caveat would be that they would need to play a lot of local music, a lot, she says, capital L-O-T. And Justin, that makes me wonder, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier that music services like Pandora, like Spotify already exist, and they're pretty much all digital natives, you know, young people have ever really used. So these aren't folks that may have been hardcore WFNX broadcast listeners. So, I mean, is there a chance that Boston.com may not be able to grow its online radio stream audience with these young people who are already listening to other online products anyway?
Well, absolutely. There's a potential for that to happen. And, you know, for them to succeed, what they'll have to do is try and find ways to grow an audience off of the base they already have with Boston.com, but to try and gather audience through different means. And that's one of the reasons I think that the FNX folks were brought in, is to be able to help generate some audience through traditional things, perhaps like events and concerts, you know, the things that you traditionally see through radio. But also, you know, since we're talking about the Internet, you can use social channels to help generate an audience. And, you know, I think the thing that, as Jeff has said, that they're betting on here is the fact that mobile devices are so ubiquitous right now. They're in all of our pockets every day. And, you know, if you can create an app that will help people access that on a regular basis, that will go a long way towards helping build an audience. You know, if it's easy to get to at any time of the day, that's going to go a long ways towards building loyalty.
Jeff Moriarty, what do you have to say about this idea of, like, the apps being also an important part?
We think that's a huge, huge part of this. We have to make this stream and this music and content available in every way possible, because we don't have that terrestrial signal. So we are working on Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps for when we launch the station. So we think apps will be a really important component of this.
Jeff, I have a question about the financial potential, which seems to be a big reason why Boston.com wants to experiment in the online radio world. I do wonder, when the Phoenix sold WFNX to Clear Channel, they sold it for some $14 million, but Stephen Mindich at the time said basically it had been difficult to sustain the station, meaning that ad revenue had dropped precipitously. So what's led Boston.com to think that, you know, drop in ad revenue could be turned around? Especially since, you know, our advertiser is going to be as attracted to what initially might be an even smaller digital audience?
Yeah, I mean, we think that there's a much lower cost base in terms of creating a streaming station like we've done. So we can do it with a lot fewer people and a lot fewer resources. So, you know, the costs are definitely on our side. And, you know, in terms of advertising, we're seeing opportunities to bundle streaming spots with banners and with other types of advertising across all of our media, across Boston.com and in the newspaper. So, you know, we really have this whole multi-platform approach and this multi-platform strategy that allows advertisers to reach people both in streams, you know, in video streams, on our website through banners, through email, so through social media. So it's really about the combination of all those things. And the events are critical, as Justin said, because we really think that's what sets us apart, both with the audience and with advertisers, is the fact that we can bring people together, and we can you know, bring them experiences they couldn't get anywhere else, in concerts and private you know, private sessions and things like that. So that we think that's going to be really attractive to advertisers as well.
I want to get one more quick call in here. Meryl's calling from Somerville. You're on the air, Meryl.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I just want to say that, like, this news makes me really happy. I was a loyal FNX listener, and, like, to know that some of the people, the, you know, DJs I love to listen to are going to be sticking around, but also, you know, Boston.com is where I get my news every single day, and now I can get my news there and kind of still listen to my music there every single day. It kind of marries the two things, and I'm really happy that they're going to be more integrated and kind of continue to be a piece of my life in a better way. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Marilyn, also presume since you're calling Radio Boston, WBUR will be on that list of places you listen to your news too. Just got to shout out.
It's
shout out for
like
my radio station
number
here.
Number two, FNX is number one, so... Top five.
Thanks so much for your call, Meryl. But Justin Ellis, that does lead me to a question that I have about maybe, you know, Meryl is saying that it's the perfect confluence for her, and that in a way I can hear a lot of people thinking, this is what I've been waiting for. One of the downsides to the digital world is that there are so many options, it actually can be somewhat overwhelming. And so by bringing things together, news, music, you know, trusted sources as well, that this could be potentially a new model that a lot of people do find attractive.
Well, the one of the reasons you see a lot of this is because it works out really well in terms of the economics for media companies. The cost of being able to produce a lot of these things now has dropped to a point where it doesn't cost as much to start up essentially a radio station or, you know, something akin to your own TV network like it did a number of years ago. So that's where you're seeing a lot of these things where you can take the resources that you have existing within a newsroom or a media company and put a little cost on top of it to build a studio or buy some cameras, buy some recording equipment, and then sort of, you know, try and make money off of both of those things. You have two streams, essentially. And that does benefit the listeners and the audience and readers on the web, you know, because they're able to basically fulfill two needs in one place. And for somebody like Boston.com, for them, the benefit is, again, it's a doubling benefit. So if they can get people to stay on site much longer, if they are reading the news as well as listening to the radio, then that's just going to benefit them, and they can take that information and it will benefit them, again, when they go to advertisers.
Mm. So it seems like it's a very interesting local experiment that could have some national implications regarding the future of media online. Justin Ellis, assistant editor at the Nieman Journalism Lab, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
And Jeff Moriarty, vice president of digital products at Boston.com, true pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listeners, continue this conversation online. What do you think of an alternative rock station showing up on an online stream only? You can send us your comments at radioboston.org. And stay with us, because coming up, are New Yorkers really healthier than Bostonians? One study even says they live longer than we do, but we'll find out why. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.